Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people. People who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 415, and I am calling it Adjusting to Not Panicking at the Thought of a Doorbell. So I am talking to Karen in this episode. We're having a strategy session together. She's one of our Patreon people. If you want to find out more about being a Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. And this was a super fun conversation. Karen does a lot, like a lot, right? She's a super fun, fascinating, interesting, busy person. And I think that that is something that a lot of the people listening can relate to, right? And so we talk about adjusting to the progress that she has made, as well as helping her parents clean out their garage and shared storage unit, defining the craft room while also storing things in there. So we had a great conversation. I think you're going to enjoy listening to this. I do want to remind you, I know I said it at the very, very beginning, but Take Your House Back is on sale right now. Okay. I'll talk at the end a little more about what it is so that if you're new here and you don't know what I'm talking about, you can find out about that. But the link to that, my link to that is aslobcomesclean.com/take to get that. Okay. Here's my conversation. Karen, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
Very well. Excited to be here.
I'm excited you're here. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me, what is your unique life situation?
Okay. I am single in my 50s. I've never been married. I don't have any children. I don't have pets currently. I do own my own home and I live alone. It's an older 1949 built home, and I live in Oklahoma, so we do not have basements. We do not have attic spaces. So
you don't have attic spaces?
No. I mean, you know, the heater's up there, but there's, because of when it was built, there's not any kind of good insulation. They didn't put in, you know, footing so you could put, you know, boxes and things up there. And so unless you're going up there to service the heater, you're not going up there.
Yeah.
I am very active at church, Sunday school teacher, choir, handbells, youth group assistant, you know, go on, you know, like youth group events and things like that, volunteers. I have a weekly Bible study and a prayer and accountability group that I do. I do work full time outside my home. I work for 5 very busy audiologists. And I have 5 nieces and a nephew, and I just, they're my life. So
I love it. Well, it sounds like you have a very busy life. Uh-huh. Sounds very fun too.
Oh, it is. It is. And I am also my closest friend own a business that sells kilt and handmade leather goods, boots and purses and things like that. Well, they primarily sell at Renaissance fairs, permanent yes. Renaissance fairs, but we do like events, pop-up shows, like anyway, around the country. And so I do get to travel about once every 6 or 8 weeks and get to spend a weekend out in public and selling things. So away from home for the weekend. And so that's another thing that keeps us pretty busy. So.
That sounds really fun.
It is super fun to not have to do it all the time, especially.
Do they do it all the time?
They do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have 6 or 8 permanent Renaissance fairs where they have shops. And then we do probably a pop, at least one standalone weekend type fair once a month, basically, but then certain times of the year, they have something every weekend for, you know, the whole month. So,
wow.
It's fun. Yeah.
Well, getting to see different parts of the country. And I mean,
that's exactly.
Really fun.
It is. It is.
And aren't those outdoors?
Yes, they're outdoors, and so usually, if the weather's nice and people are fun, and so.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So tell me some things that are working well for you in your home.
Doing the dishes every day. It seems like such a little thing now, especially, but I mean, if someone says, well, do your dish, well, really, that's kind of silly, but it is truly changes how you see almost everything now to me is, okay, well, I do the dishes every day. Well, I, you know, literally every day the dishes are done. And even being single, I just didn't really do that because I didn't have to. And there's no one telling you to do that. And I run my dishwasher nearly every day, but at least every couple of days anyway, even if it's not full. And I never get it full except, when I'm baking. And I'm okay with that. And that's just the way it is. But I will say, because when people ask you, what about my car? And you always say, gosh, I don't know. It's car math and dishes math. It is exactly the same. It is 100% the same thing. When you get out of that car, everything comes out.
Is that a habit you've developed?
Oh, yeah. Yes. But now I will say a few years ago, splurged and bought the Cadillac CTS, the car that turns you on when you drive. Uh-huh. And so ever since when I splurged and bought a very nice car, I said, I'm going to keep it clean. And so then, that became a habit of taking everything out and then looking at it from a dishes math standpoint, it's exactly the same thing. When you get out of that car, you just clean it up. And I say just because trust you.
We don't use the word just, but yeah.
We don't, but yeah, this is what you do every day.
Well, I love it because it is true. And it's one of those where I'm like, I could figure it out theoretically that it's the same as dishes, right? But yes. The reality is my car is a disaster. And so I'm not going to teach it. So I'm so happy that you are here to share and teach that is the case.
Yeah. Car math, dishes math. It's the same thing.
Same. I think they're all maths, unfortunately.
It is. When you think about it that way, it's like, okay, now what else? Oh yeah. I need to do that every day. And
Yeah, exactly. So what's something else that's working well for you?
Start with trash. No matter what's going on, no matter how overwhelmed, start with trash. In fact, when I don't want to do anything else and I don't want to do a 5-minute pickup and there's nobody else that's going to say, hey, then I go and empty the trash cans out because I have trash cans in pretty much every room. Mm-hmm. And so if I just, take 2 minutes and go get all the trash cans and then it's like, oh, and then you have empty when you go into the bathroom, the trash can's empty. And it's a little thing, but it does just kind of give you a little peace. So
that's really smart. I like that. And it's math again, right? bringing it down to zero so that there's plenty of space for, additional trash in the future. But it is that, I think that because when you first said trash, I'm thinking like I normally do like decluttering to get through the overwhelm. But yeah, when you're feeling just overwhelmed in general, that is a habit. Like I know I feel overwhelmed. I'm going to go empty all the trash in that. Because I do know that's a struggle. And I also, sometimes people say, why don't you take out the trash on your thing? And I'm like, well, that is something that I've never had to worry about. You know what I mean? Like there's plenty of things that my husband never thinks about and I don't, whatever, but it's like, I love that you brought that up because I think that's incredibly, incredibly valuable. Like I look forward to when it's going to be done, but I also know that he's going to do it. So, so tell me what situation you'd like to talk about first.
Okay. So I don't have a garage. It was converted into a room. It was a single car garage converted into a room. And so I have lots of laundry space, which is great, and a nice pantry area, which is great. but I don't have a lot of, and it's an old house, so there's not good closets.
Right.
Because I have a room that I can use for crafts. Scrapbooking was the original intent of it, and it's pretty okay. But then also I have, that's where I have the Christmas decorations in the closet, and then tubs of other decorations that I have not yet decluttered fully. Mm-hmm. And so I know how you've talked about calling it this. This is the room. But I know in my head that I have storage, you know, decor storage, because there's tubs in one corner and then scrapbook stuff in it. Do I call it a, I don't just call it a storage room because that's a bad thing. But how do you decide really when you know you're using it for more than one thing?
Okay, so name your uses again.
I have
craft
stuff, and then storage of pretty much everything else, mostly holiday decor, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, Easter, you know, a big tub for Easter decorations and things like that.
Do you do crafts in there, or is it primarily just where you keep the craft stuff and then you take it somewhere else to do it?
I have primarily just taken it someplace else to do it because the room has not been cleared out enough to put up a table and to do it.
Do you that want is, to do crafts in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so I want to put goal. Up a table. Yes.
All right. So because that's the action, I would name it that. I would make that okay. Because that is the function, the purpose of this room. It okay. doesn't mean you can't store Christmas decorations in your craft room. But you said, I want to put up a table in there and there's no room for a table. Okay. Yeah. So if you have it in your brain that this room is a craft room and I can only store what allows it to still function as a craft room, it changes how everything looks, right? Like, so my guest room, do you watch YouTube or just?
Oh yeah. No, I. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did you see the one where I talked about my guest room?
Yes.
Or my son had moved out. So that, yeah. I think I videoed that before Christmas. Well, then, you know, Christmas came and went. And when it was time to put Christmas decorations away, I told my husband, I said, my dream has been to have an actual accessible place to put Christmas decorations instead of something where I have to ask for his help to go get them, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, that closet in that guest room is empty. So I want to put Christmas decorations in there. And when our Christmas tree does not fit at all, really, even in there. But when I thought of it that way, all of a sudden, all my Christmas decorations looked different to me. When I realized this is a defined space, that it's not the room that I'm putting it in, it's the closet that I'm putting it in. And all of a sudden, a lot of things just fell to the side as not worthy of being in that space, right? And I'm not saying it's easy, but for you, you know, thinking of it as, okay, that closet is the storage part of this. How big is the closet?
Maybe like a small walk-in closet.
Okay.
Size.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about the same as what I have for that. So if you're thinking, I'm going to put a table in this room, that means that I need to clear space. Like mm-hmm. that's the number one thing I need to do is clear space. So if I'm clearing space, that means I am emptying and saying, basically, I'm going to start going box by box or tub by tub or whatever that's in there. And it either needs to belong in here for the craft room, or it needs to earn its space in the closet of that kind of stuff. And another thing you can do, and I don't, you know, you don't have to clear out the closet first, but even just to go in there and say, is there anything obvious in here? Do I have the old Christmas tree and the new Christmas tree? Or do I have, you know, some things that obviously could leave? And then just start one inning, one out as you bring stuff from the room into there and everything earns its space. Do you feel like that's even possible?
Oh, yes. Okay. Actually, just you asking, do you want to do the crafts in there or just store the crafts in there, the scrapbooking? I mean, it actually is like a light bulb. Like I never I hadn't gotten the room to usable, you know, it was filled with just junk. And to actually think of it being used for something other than storage, it's like a light bulb. Okay, now I really have a plan, you know, can make a plan that seems doable.
Right. And the table is such a good, it's such a good like visual for, I have to clear actual stuff out of here. Like things have to leave to make space for a table.
To make for a table. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't even gotten to that point, but yeah, just thinking, okay, if I put the table here, then this space has to be empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that same thing of like, this is the purpose of the room. It's not that I can't have that. And it doesn't even mean that you can't, you know, the reality is like, okay, you might be creative even in something like in that video where I talked about that being my guest room, you know, but also having, could I put other stuff in there? I have a chest of drawers in there that has my supplies for that. Well, for like crafty kind of stuff, sewing stuff. And that can be in there because it doesn't take away from it being a guest room, you know, but it's like, so it's not that Christmas decorations can't, there can't be, you know, some sort of thing where there's also Christmas decorations in here, you know, maybe my breakables or something are in this specific, you know, piece of furniture that's in here. And that's fine as long as it doesn't mean that this can't function as the craft room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I solved that problem.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So tell me, what's the next thing you want to talk about?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. And I know you are not a mental health professional, but what is the best way to overcome that I'm just messy in my home? Because I am at work. I am perfectly organized. Everything has its place. It's done. When I leave on Fridays, the inbox is cleared and my desk is cleared. I make sure even my recycling bin is empty so that when I walk in on Monday, it's ready to go. But at home, I have, you know, stuff and like you, the slob vision where it's either perfectly clean and clear and then it's piled high with stuff. But how can you get over, as you are becoming neater or just as you've cleared out stuff and you have open space, how to get over that when someone calls that you're not panicked. Oh, but my living room's clean, my bathroom's clean, my kitchen is clean. I mean, clean, but still that panic of grandma's coming, you got to clean, but you don't really have to. How long does it take before you feel where you don't have that anxiety about someone coming to your house and seeing, you know, for years?
The panic. Oh, I totally know the panic. Yeah. I think, again, like you said, I am not a mental health professional, right? But I do, from my own experience, I had always been willing to have people over if I was completely in control of when they were coming over and I had my 2 weeks to get ready. Okay. And it was stressful and it was highly, highly stressful. As I kept working on my house, I basically just told myself, Dana, take every opportunity that arises to have people over. And so, you know, you were talking about all the different things that you do with your church. And maybe you've heard me tell this story, but when I literally, I started at the very end of August in 2009, and I think it was a month later when at our church, the pastor had said, okay, we're wanting to start home groups. You know, we need people to volunteer their homes. And I volunteered our home. And my husband was like, you know, not because of, he knew how much it had always stressed me. He was so surprised that I did that. And yet that was so helpful because yes, it forced me to keep up with things, but I was already doing that, you know, as I was working so hard on this. But it also helped me to go ahead and have people come over when it wasn't perfect. And the more that I did that kind of under my own control, the less it freaked me out for people to come in, both because my house was more under control and also because I knew it in my head, but I was experiencing and re-experiencing the power of people need a place to go, right? And that is more important than my house being perfect. Like, it is more important for me to let them in, even when there are things that I wish I would have gotten done and I didn't get done, because they desperately need that. And so having that, because I was doing that so much under my control, it helped with the unexpected doorbell. I still don't love an unexpected doorbell because of that, because, you know, because who knows, right? But at the same time, I am willing, you know, to open the door, and it makes it less stressful. I'm so sorry. My dog has the worst gas right now. Oh my gosh. Seriously, go somewhere else if you're going to do that. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. This is embarrassing.
No, it's okay. I think it's hilarious.
Anyway. Okay. She's just laying there. She's like, I'm fine. What? I don't know what's bothering you. But yeah, so I think it's that. I think it, and who knows what an actual mental health professional would say that is. I don't know if it's, who knows? I'm not going to use any terms because I don't know what they actually are. I'm just saying from my own personal experience, it was that I need to let people in more, you know, and like we put certain things on the schedule, like just put it on the schedule. And I think that's a big thing for me is, we have a New Year's Eve party, and we have for the last however many years, you know, and it's just another thing that keeps me, you know, around Christmas when life can get bananas and you kind of, nobody knows what day it is and stuff. It's like, okay. And every time I do it and I realize I wasn't stressed, I didn't even really think about getting the house ready until the day of. I try to remember all those years when it wasn't like that, right? And how incredibly grateful I am to now be where I am. And so it's that continued exposure, I guess.
Okay.
Does that help?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Because it seems like you're really involved in a lot of things and you do a lot of things. And so it might be I'll host whenever you can't or something like that. And just...
Yeah.
Go ahead and put the commitment out there.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
But it is not that I don't still have panic moments. But I think, and I, that's what I think a lot of people don't understand for those of us. And I also wanted to say too, because the way you started bringing it up, I didn't know where you're going with this, but I just want to say that your competence at work and your organization there, as well as your high creativity. And I can tell that like lots of people depend on you for lots of things, your high level of competency and struggles in your home go together more than they contradict in my experience. Like that's what I have learned from this, because that was a big part of my struggles. I was like, what is it? Why can't I deal with my house when I'm highly competent in other areas? And people would be really surprised to find out that I can't handle my house, you know? And so what I have learned over the years of meeting so many other people who relate to my struggles is that's actually a very common thing to have those two things together, to be highly competent elsewhere. And then it's the mundane day-to-day, you know, lack of urgency stuff that you let go because you have it in you to, hey, I can do all the things that have to be done that technically I don't have to do, you know? So.
I'm because they really, the only one it affects is me and, you know,
But now hopefully you're able to do even more and enjoy it more without the guilt of your house and without the frustration.
Yes. To walk in and it's just more peaceful and open space. And you had said, you know, take out some furniture sometimes and, oh my gosh, just a table and a little tiny, like bistro table and some chairs, but it just,
you got rid of it.
Yes. And it's just like, wow, and that's not a flat surface that I don't have some stuff put on it.
Right. And everybody's like, oh, I'll find someplace else to put it. And I'm like, somehow eliminating the flat surface. Well, I love that you experienced that, because that is so true. Get rid of a piece of furniture and it makes a huge impact. That's awesome.
It does. It does. And in fact, I have a very beautiful roll top desk in my office, but you know, it has all these drawers and cubbies and I've never really put things in the little cubbies and, you know, a few things, but not like it should be used or like it was built to be used. And it's like covered in stuff. I mean, clutter. And just last week I thought, you know, maybe that big piece would open up the room and, you know, it wouldn't, maybe this is the time to look at it, going to live somewhere else.
Well, and sometimes it takes that like, oh, I got to think about it for a while and then till you're ready to let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Well, that's great. So what else did you want to talk about?
Well, my parents are thankfully still living and very healthy, and I live the closest to them of all the siblings. And they have a 3-car garage that they mostly can't park in. Okay, they will clean it out in the wintertime so that mom can park there. But most of the time, they cannot park in the garage for all the stuff. And, you know, to start helping them clean it out. And you always say it, the relationship is, you need to keep the relationship intact and good and healthy. But it is so hard to not just go in and go, everything is going. And so I'm trying to do that, to start, you know, start with trash. And
so when they clean it out in the winter to get one car in, where does that stuff go?
But I will say they're getting better at getting rid of things, donating and trashing, but they still want to make it go to the perfect place. So they will take VHS tape apart because there's one little piece of metal that's recyclable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bless your heart. But no, just throw it away. And so they mostly just will get a box, pile it in a box and kind of, you know, move it up are around. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, so what, when do they usually do that? Like October, November, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I was going to say that would be the ideal time is like, hey, can I come help you? And let's use this method that time. Cause they're already in the zone if they normally do this and they could see how much stuff could go. At what point does stuff start coming back in?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I think it just kind of when it seems like when it gets a little bit nicer, they'll open the garage door and they'll like move a couple of boxes or something around. And then, oh, well, we'll clean that out later. And so then they park, you know, and in the driveway. And then
you could go at it from the perspective of like, hey, let me, you know, I have nothing else to do, which it sounds like you rarely have a day like that, but I have nothing else to do on this day. And, you know, let me come and help you so that maybe this year you'll be able to keep parking there in the heat of the summer. Cause the heat of the summer is also
too. Yeah. I will say though at Christmas mm-hmm. Or before Christmas, I went over and they have a large like Florida room and we were getting it ready. And I did hold up this, where should I put this? One thing at a time, basically. Mm-hmm. And I took it there now. And we did that for a couple of hours. And that was instead of just piling everything together and then distributing it. So we did that. And that
did they really experience the power of it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So,
well, you could say, remember how I helped you that day? Why don't we, before it gets hot again, I'll come and maybe we'll try to make even more of a dent in there. And also I always tell people to print out the five steps, you know, so that it's kind of something outside of you as a, this is what the lady says, you know, let's start with the trash. And, so it sounds like you've helped them before, you know, kind of the basics, but again, it's that declutter and then it's probably going to ebb back a little bit and then declutter some more. It'll ebb back, but it might not be as much. And then, okay, we're going to declutter some more. It's so hard when it's other people's stuff, right? You know, because you can't change anybody. And if they don't care, but I would, you know, maybe take advantage of the nice weather of let's get out there and let's do this when, so maybe you could, you know, keep your car in there over the
heat of the summer.
Yeah. To me, the heat of the summer is worse than the winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a great, that definitely doesn't solve all the problems because it doesn't make it easier, but yeah, just getting in there and then offering to be like, I'll take care of those for you. You don't have to lie, but just say, I'll take care of those for you.
Or even, I kind of did when we have a storage unit, a kind of a family one that we put stuff in. It was mostly my stuff at one time. Then it became, you know, all my siblings have boxes and stuff. So we had one of those big junk days and they were actually on vacation, my parents. And I went over and said, I'm going to spend like 2 hours. And I threw away a whole bunch of stuff, boxes that came from their house. They were books. And I did tell them afterwards that, you know, all of those boxes of, I did go through them. I looked, but you know, Reader's Digest condensed books from the 80s and 90s, nobody needs. And I did.
How did they react?
And then, well, at first they were like, what? Okay. Are you sure you didn't throw anything away that we really, yeah, I'm sure. I promise. I moved, everyone in the family has like a section of where I've moved stuff to. I promise. And I actually said to my dad, if you tell me the name of a book that's not in there, that you can't find, and I will track it down and pay whatever it costs to replace it.
That's good. Yeah. Which he probably wouldn't want you to do anyway.
But then I actually gave everyone got some Christmas presents from storage, sweatshirts and t-shirts from, you know, high school and college, books and things like that. If I found it, I just started making boxes for everybody so that we can hopefully get that cleaned out.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
You know, another thing too, like with the VHS tapes and stuff like that, where they want to do that. It could be a matter of, you know, and you said they're in good health, but you know, you go in and you're doing, it's like, I'll do the physical labor. You sit there and deal with those VHS tapes. you know, start doing the thing that it is that you want to do with this and get as many as you can done. And whatever you don't get done at the end of whenever we stop today, we'll just throw those away. But yeah, go ahead and get all those done. But you're sitting there and able to tell me when I ask, where would you look for this first or whatever, you know, or you point to the trash and I'll pick it up, that kind of thing.
Okay. That's a good idea because they'll keep paint that's, you know, been there for 10 years. Well, where would we look for paint that's not usable?
Yeah.
It's hard though with parents.
It's very hard. And I think that the thing that I learned with my mother-in-law especially was all the things she wanted to do. I'm like, okay, I'll go act on this thing for you. And sometimes doing that would be the thing. Then she would realize, oh, you're spending all this time to go, you know, take this thing to the ideal place. And you're like, no, it's important enough to me that this stuff is gone, that I'm willing to do the thing that makes you willing to let it go. And then she would acknowledge, oh, that's taking way too much time, and then be ready to get rid of stuff, right? Like then be ready to do the less than ideal thing. But as long as it was just in her mind as, oh, this thing that I need to do someday, and she didn't actually know how long it was going to take, that was when it just kept sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And I would find her often saying, oh, I'll do that. And I was like, nope, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to go ahead and do this. So what is it that you're wanting to get rid of? You wanted to donate these to the library book sale? Okay, well, I'll go do that right now. And sometimes it would make her just kind of be like, wait, what? But I'm like, well, you said that's what you want to do. So I'm going to go do it right now. Like, oh, you want to go with me? We'll get something to drink while we're out, you know, whatever. But
That is such a good idea.
Yeah.
That really is a good idea just to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Yeah.
Well, and like I said, you know, just the same way that it is for you, when you go ahead and do the thing, and then the next time you have the experience to know either it's easier than I thought it was, so next time it's not intimidating anymore, or it was way more hassle than I thought it was going to be, and next time I'm not bothering, I'm just going to get rid of it the easiest way. You know, it's like they kind of get to watch you doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even more intense when you're like, feeling guilty that you're making somebody else go do this thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also, again, so many times it's about the building trust, because so much decluttering drama comes from, you know, the one person saying, why do you have this? What's the big deal? Why are you so obsessed with doing the perfect thing? And then the other person saying, well, I was only kind of into doing the perfect thing, but now that you've criticized me for doing the perfect thing, I'm going to do the perfect thing harder. You know, I mean, that's life,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And yeah.
So kind of making it your goal to be, sure, I can do that. I always found that caught my in-laws off guard because they were kind of expecting resistance. And I'd be like, no, okay. Yeah. That's what you want. Sure. Let's do it. And then they would often be like, well, actually, I don't really want to do that. I just don't want to do anything. Yeah.
I did find that before Christmas in December, when I was just, okay, you know, is this trash? Is this, where would you like me to take this? It really went much smoother than, yeah, a few months earlier, I had tried to help my father and I'm just like, this is all trash.
Yeah.
And that didn't go as well.
Well, and even to tweak it further, instead of saying, is this trash, say, in this space right here, do you see any trash? And let them identify it so that they're not having to make any decisions. There's something so powerful about progress without decisions.
Okay.
So it's like, do you see any trash? That's just a yes or no. It's not, is this item trash, that they're like, well, maybe it's not trash. Wait, why should, you know, so that, and then the, where would you look for this first, as opposed to where should this go? Or, you know, where would you put it? Let's do the, where would you look for this first, which is the instinct things. And then you're like, yeah, that's a great place. Cause sometimes when you say, where should this go? At least for me, as the person who was by definition the disorganized one, I questioned my own putting of things in places, like my own ideas of where things were supposed to go. And then if somebody else asked me, where does this go, or where should this go, or where should you put this, I was like, not giving my full honest answer because I was going, well, where's the right place? Where's the right place for that? And are they going to judge me for saying something weird, you know? And so instead it's, where would you look for this? And then take it to that place and be like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. If that's where you want to, that's where you'd look for it, then sure. That's where it should go. I don't know. Just really tweet drilling down on those questions.
In my own home, when I'm there, I will say that to myself, where would I look for this first? But when I was at my parents' house, I didn't say, where would you look for this first? Where do you want me to put this? I think is what I actually said. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can see the just the subtle difference in that could make a difference, you know?
Yes.
But yeah.
Well, and two, the where would I look for this first is for the stuff that you don't know where it goes. Before that, you've asked, is there anything in here that has a home
that needs to go there?
And yeah. I'll go ahead and take that for you. And the where would you look for this first? If it does have a home, then that's where they're going to say.
Right.
But if it doesn't have a home and they go, well, I just don't know. It's like, no, it's okay. You don't have to know where it would be. It doesn't have to have a place. We're just asking, where would you go looking for it first? And then kind of lead them through that as a way to identify where to put things.
But also printing out your list and having it right there, that I think would help too.
Well, and it also, especially I think when it's the kids, even though we're not kids anymore, but you know, like the kids helping the parents, it just helps to have that. It's not me saying this, it's the process, you know, like this is the next thing to be able to get through this. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Anyway. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I do. So I bake some just for pleasure. And one of the things are cookies. And with cookies come, well, just all baking stuff has lots of accessories and this knickknacks and things. But one of the things are cookie cutters. And I actually had done pressed cookies called Springerly. And they're cookie molds. And, you know, when you start buying stuff, you know how it can just snowball.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so one of the things about cookies is cookie cutters. And you can get just more and more and more. And for every cookie, you have a new cutter. Well, as I've been decluttering, and I didn't have a huge collection of them. But as I've been decluttering them, I'm trying to keep the special copper ones, but very basic shapes, circles, squares, hearts, Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. And I even made some cookies for someone and they were said, well, can you do this? I can't do that, but I can do this. And it's on a circle cookie. And that really is very freeing. To say, this is what I can do on a circle, a square, a heart, or, you know, an Easter egg. And then it really.
And people have been fine with that.
Yes. Yes. And actually a little more creative too, because, you know, anybody can take a cookie cutter and, you know, ice it. But if this is what you're going to work with, how can I make it pleasing and, you know, the look that you're looking for. But that really has streamlined the way I've looked at baking and cookies in particular. Just that I'm not going to buy shaped cookie cutters, and this is what I have. And it, like removing furniture, you have this space. It's a very internally calming thing for me. So
I really love that. That's really great. I think that with so many things, I was talking to somebody yesterday or the day before, and she called it infinity brain, what a lot of us have. You know, like mm-hmm. we think of all the possibilities and all the future situations and all that, and there is no end to that. But there's so much beauty in those boundaries. And like you said, like you're learning to, these are the boundaries, this is what I can handle. And actually, it makes me be more creative, which is the thing you were wanting to do anyway when you were collecting all the things, right? But it like forces that actual creativity. And
yes,
most of us who have the infinity brain of all the stuff, it's because we have all the possibilities, right? Like, so we collect and collect and collect. And yet the actual using of the creativity, which is what our joy comes from, is in the make and do and stick them to the boundaries. I love that.
And so much simpler. And it's just so much simpler.
Yeah, I love it. That's so great. Thank you for sharing that. That's really great. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Well, I, because of you, had a little bit of a moment of bonding with my niece's mother-in-law.
Okay.
So my oldest niece got married 2 years ago. And, you know, we were meeting the family and they got married here in Oklahoma City. And so the family came up and we were talking, and you know how you're a little, you know, everybody's nervous and everything, and you want to make a really good impression. And we started talking, and somehow it came up about, you know, your home. And so I said something about working on decluttering and following a process and 5 steps. And Dana White, I'm like, Dana K. White. So we had kind of a fun bonding moment over you.
That makes me so happy.
It was so much fun. Yeah.
I love it. That's great. I know. It's always kind of like, I'm sure there are most realms in the world have never heard of me, but to how fun to like run into somebody who has followed the same process. Yeah.
Yeah. And is excited to, when she sent pictures of their garage, you know, here's where we started, here's what we've done. And
that's so awesome.
It is. It's a fun thing that I have with her that, you know, my niece and even my sister don't share, but we kind of have our little bonding.
That's so really cool. I love it. So what do you love about being a kindred spirit?
That I know there are other people who understand that there have been times, hopefully fewer and fewer as we go along, where you have piles of clothes, boxes, where you have flat surfaces that don't have anything on them. Mm-hmm. You know, that there are times when you absolutely would be horrified. There had been times that you would be horrified if someone knew how much stuff you have behind that door, that, you know, that. So that's it, that there are people who truly understand. And so when you post a picture of a room, that when you look at it and then you know it's your own stuff, how did you live in that?
And yet nobody's going to say that because everybody gets it.
Right? Yes. And that just after 5 minutes or a week of 5 minute pickup, that, or just taking out the trash, mm-hmm. getting trash, that it's better, and that better is better. Just one thing out of your house is better, and better is fine.
Yeah. Better is good. Yeah.
Better is good.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate your openness. I think you would be super fun to hang out with. We need to get together.
Yes, we do.
A kindred spirit retreat is in the goals for the year. So
we'll good. I actually am 3/4 finished with your training and I kind of hit a wall. I don't know why, but I just did. And I really would like to, you know, buckle down and say, all right, by this date, I need to have it finished. And
Do we have any in Oklahoma yet? Have you looked?
Last time I looked, we didn't, but
We have one coach in Oklahoma now. I'm not sure. My goal is every state, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Wasn't that fun? Isn't she fun? Don't y'all just feel like we could all be friends? That's why we call ourselves the Kindred Spirits. That's why we call our Patreon private group the Kindred Spirits, because we're kindred spirits. That's why, right? It's from Anne of Green Gables. I'm sure most of you know that, but if you didn't know, that's where that comes from. Okay, so I told you I was going to talk about Take Your House Back. I'm not going to go really far into it because you can go to aslobcomesclean.com/take and there you will see the information. You'll see what's included, all that kind of stuff. But the basics are, it is a course. It is an online course that you can do at your own pace. And that course takes you through the process of taking your house back, no matter what state it's in. Okay. So I do this course with Dawn from The Minimal Mom and Cass from Clutterbug. They both also have podcasts and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. They are primarily YouTubers. Like, that's how you're going to know them. And anyway, it has been life-changing for so many people. And so I just always like to make sure that you know about it when it goes on sale, because that's when you want to grab it, right? Because we're all frugal around here. And we are going to have an all-day declutter on Saturday, April 27th. That is a bonus to the actual course itself, right? Like, so the course itself, go through at your own pace, just working through the modules, and you will make huge changes in your mindsets in your home. Now, the all-day declutter is a really good boost that a lot of people love. If it overwhelms you to think of having a day where you're decluttering alongside tens of thousands of other people all around the world, then skip that, okay? Or watch the recordings later at your own pace, one at a time, whenever you feel like it. But for a lot of people, that day of focus and energy is really, really powerful, okay? The way that you participate in the all-day declutter is to be a member of the course. So go to aslobcomesclean.com/take if that is something that interests you. All right, I will talk to y'all later.